Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
All right, Kid Nation, we got Todrick Hall calling the show here in about 20 minutes.
Nice.
Friend of the show, super famous on YouTube, has gotten the attention of Beyonce, whose birthday we're celebrating today, and has become BFFs with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Saw him all over the place at the VMAs. He even got to do a speech. So we'll chat with him and see how it was out there at the MTV VMAs. But right now, we got to get into Love Letters to Kelly, and this morning, it's brought to you by Rothy's.
Oh, have you gotten your Rothy's, ladies? My husband loves my Rothy's so much, he's like, why can't I get Rothy's? He loves my new, I just got the new black slip-on sneaker.
Okay.
And they're so cool and comfortable. The thing about Rothy's is these shoes are insanely comfortable. They're machine washable. They are made out of recycled plastic water bottles.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And they do it beautifully. These are the most comfortable flats you will own. Ladies are always looking for the right pair of flats that are, you know, comfortable, but you also want them to be cute and stylish, right? Well, with Rothy's, they go with everything from yoga pants to your dresses and skirts. They have a wide range of colors, patterns. They've got four different silhouettes, pointy toe, round toe. They've got this new slip-on sneaker I was so excited to get. I also love my red camo pointed toe. You don't see a lot of red camo out there. So it's unique colors and patterns. They're always changing it up. And also with Rothy's, there's zero break-in period. They're comfortable from the moment you put them on.
Oh.
If you want to check it out and see what all the fuss is about, go to rothys.com/kid to get your new favorite flats, comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for at rothys.com/kid. Do that today.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I am 29 going on 30. I've been in a 6-month relationship with this guy that I do love. He's the only guy that actually flaunts me around and is happy to show me off on his platforms. We started out as special friends, but that didn't last. We fell for each other. That means, and we were talking about moving in together next year, if all goes well. He says I'm perfect until the week before that time of the month.
Oh.
He says I get up, she called it my monthly, which is funny. I've never heard it phrased that way. He says I get upset and mad over anything. He says he's fed up with it.
What?
He told me yesterday he was going to show me what it's like to not be with him all weekend.
Oh.
He blocked me from everything.
What?
He finally unblocked me, but told me I needed to be taught a lesson. Kelly, I know I'm not perfect and I'm working on my moodiness, but I just have this gut feeling this is a sign for me to run. You block someone to teach them a lesson. Any advice is appreciated.
Well, I mean,
moodiness happens once a month, guys.
It does, but you also need to take control of that and not be a victim of it. You can, there are certain things you can do to make it less dramatic.
Right.
Blocking you is kind of childish and immature. I'm saying if everything else about your relationship is wonderful, I wouldn't call it off. It doesn't sound like...
Teach you a lesson.
Abusive behavior.
You said, like,
it's kind of juicy.
I think, in my opinion, it's one of those, it's one little flag that don't forget it, but just like watch for something else because I wish, I mean, Kelly, I don't know about you, but for me, there are so many things in red flags in relationships that I would just be like, oh, whatever. And then, you know, 2 years in and then when it finally ends, you're like, wow, if I had only paid attention to all those red flags.
Yeah,
you got any right now?
Like, if this is the only one, that's one red flag.
You got any red flags right now that you're going through? Good, babe.
Are you calling her out on her relationship?
I'm asking. I'm just asking.
Why did she say that?
Oh, Big Al Mac, relationship.
I'm just asking.
I did in the beginning when you were first getting to know someone, and I made that joke to him in the beginning.
Right.
You know, I'd be like,
red flag,
red flag. I'd send him a little red flag emoji in a text, but you know, at this point, what, we're almost a year in?
Yeah.
We're pretty good.
But listen to what he's saying about you being out of control, outrageous. If he's being overly sensitive and it's not that bad, then maybe you have a problem. But if you're, you know, come on, ladies, we need to take a little ownership of our moodiness and our bitchiness. And
maybe it's his first time dealing with that because they're together all the time.
He's 30. So that's the first time you've dealt with a woman.
Grumpy.
You're going to leave her alone for the weekend?
But maybe this is the first time he's dealt with a woman who goes grumpy on that magnitude.
Right, like big time grumps.
You know, but some women do have serious cycles and it's bad. And you need a partner that can handle that. But if you're being a drama queen, you also need to accept that.
My wife's cool because I'll get home and she'll give me the warning. She'll be like, hey, just want to let you know, I'm PMSing. I was like, cool. I got you.
Thank you. Thank you for the warning.
I know not to say dumb things. I know to make sure that I clean up after myself.
That is
like
so
all those little things that can trigger
much more
someone.
Mature because you're managing yourself.
And she lets me know. So it's communication, I right. guess, right. that can help, right?
Communication can solve a lot of problems.
A lot of that, yeah. Kelly. You're so right about that.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
My close friend just got married to her boyfriend she's been with since she was 14 years old. We're 25 now. Now, I know she loves him and all, but she hardly says anything good about him. In my experience, when you talk negatively about your significant other, despite how much you love them, it's probably not a healthy fit. What makes it worse is that she sees my husband doing sweet things for me, and it hurts my heart to hear her say things like, I wish my husband would do this for me or do that for me in front of him.
Oh, no.
I had mentioned before the marriage that this was not a good fit, but I let it go, and she said she loves him. Now that she's married, I don't want to ruin anything, but my husband has really picked up on it, too, and it makes us so sad to hear. Should we say something? Ignore it? We want to help her and have a... And we've made subtle suggestions to go to counseling, but her husband won't do it. How can we help her or deal with hearing how unhappy she is?
Just mind your business.
Mm-hmm.
Just be good friends to them. If she wants to share things with you, be a good listening ear. Don't bad-mouth the relationship. You've already said your piece. You married him anyway. But it's not your place to tell people they need to go to marriage counseling. She probably knows that on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Interfering has never ended well.
Mm-mm.
Well, maybe it has ended well. But in most cases, it does not end well.
The whole thing of saying, I wish my husband would do that in front of him, though.
Don't
yeah,
do that. That's their own
tell
problem.
Her to not do that.
Yeah, no. Well, just, you know, keep living your best little marriage and setting a good example and showing them what a good marriage should be like. And maybe he'll pick up on that. But don't.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear
yeah,
Kelly.
Basically.
Yes, basically. Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
And possibly an assist from Jenna needed. My wife is an elementary school teacher. She has been for years, so I understand her being at school after hours and some weekends. However, it seems like lately she's there all the time. When I ask her about it, her response is always the same. You're not a teacher. You don't understand. That's true, but my brother and two nephews' wives are elementary school teachers, and their wives are not at their schools nearly as much. Not even close. Now, I don't believe she's having an affair or anything. Her mom is supposedly with her most of the time when she's at school. I think she's addicted to work, even though she says different, or she just doesn't want to be home with her family. Our marriage, like most, has its highs and lows. If you ask her, I'm a horrible husband because I use strong language when I get upset. She says I'm cussing her out when I'm actually cussing while we argue. There's a difference.
Oh, man.
Then, on top of all that...
I'm not cussing at you. I'm cussing to you.
Right. Then, on top of all that, this morning, I'm awakened by this amazing laundry dream with a woman that I know but I've never met personally. I've always been faithful to my wife, and she still raises my flag. Oh, and the lady in the amazing laundry dream is the one and only Kelly Raspberry.
Oh, me? Yeah. Raspberry, damn it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
True story. I must say, Kelly, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Lucky Alan.
Guarantee it.
But what does all this even mean? That's from Brent.
Well, Jenna will have to break down your dream, but it sounds to me like she's just avoiding coming home. A lot of people, when their marriages are in not the best state, the husband or the wife will linger at work and find excuses not to come home because the minute they walk through that door, the weight of the world is back on their shoulders, right?
Right. Amen.
So
yes. Yes.
I think that's probably she's not happy in the marriage. So before this goes down a really bad path, I would work on how your arguing skills, apparently that's not very effective, and maybe take your wife out, say, look, we need to go reconnect. Let's go on a romantic date. I'll tell you, a lot of when Alan and I start drifting apart and we feel that, I feel like this wall building and stuff.
Hello, I'm Alan.
A good date night can fix that. It really does put things back on track. And a lot of people, it's hard because you've got kids, you've got obligations. But if you can find the mother, you said she's always with the mother, get the mother to watch him for just a few hours on a Friday or Saturday night and go out and be a couple and talk about these things. Again, communication can solve a lot of problems.
Should
I don't
he,
think she's having an affair. I think she's just avoiding coming home because it's a hassle once she walks in the door.
Should he tell the wife about the amazing dream about
no,
you?
That, no good can come of that.
Okay.
She'll end up hating
do
Kelly.
You
they kind of had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, do you want to hear your wife's dream about the
about me?
Hot guy she... Yeah, about Al.
Yeah,
but, I would.
Nobody wants to hear that.
I just like to hear somebody's dreaming about me.
Text your dreams to Big Al Mac if you had a dream about him.
I'll go ahead and analyze them. They're all the same. It actually doesn't have anything to do
with Kelly.
Wanting that person in particular. Okay. Because sometimes you have intimate dreams, like laundry dreams about celebrities that repulse you, you know, in terms of attractiveness.
I hope I don't repulse them.
No, but they say it's just, it reflects your drive to be successful like they are.
And he was
craving, and he listens to you all the time.
He was craving my advice.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
He
was craving my body.
There you go.
More Jenna dream readings here in about 40 minutes, Kid Nation. We got you on that. Don't you worry.
Love letters to Kelly.
Celebrity laundry dreams are actually very common.
I had one where one was trying to kiss me, and I was like, no. I don't know what that means.
And mine was intimate, but we never. Didn't mind about Kelly, I'm talking about.
That would not be considered, in my dream expert opinion, Kelly to you is not a celebrity. Kelly is your friend co-worker. And co-worker and partner.
Yeah. It was the most intimate dream I've ever had, and we didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. We just held
and each
other.
And he cried about it.
When I was telling Kelly about it on the show, I cried.
Very awkward.
I think we should go back and analyze it.
Really?
Now that I know more, I think we should analyze it more thoroughly.
That makes me, oh man.
Because I had one, it was Julianne Hough, and she was trying to kiss me, and I was telling her no. And she's pretty.
No, she's very pretty.
And I knew it was a dream because I was in my dream. I was like, oh, it's a dream. It should be okay.
Oh, last night.
But look at you. You're not crying telling that story.
No.
Al was weeping.
I was, took my glasses off, wiping my eyes.
That's heavy repressed emotions for someone.
He said he felt so much love for me.
Maybe you're the one that got away, Kelly.
Maybe I am.
All right, go ahead, Jeff.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I'm dating three guys.
Good for you.
Whoa.
I have not had the exclusive talk with any of them, so I'm not cheating, but they definitely don't know about each other either. I got recently divorced from my husband who cheated on me and treated me like garbage, and I just refuse to settle for anything less than the best for me and my kids. My biggest issue is that all three guys together make almost the perfect guy.
Oh my gosh.
Sister husbands. Husbands.
I've been hoping that one will eventually pull into the lead, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm too afraid to just choose one and risk losing the other two, but I also know what it feels like to be strung along. What do I do, Brianna?
Well, is anybody forcing you to make a decision? It doesn't sound like it. Nobody's holding a gun to your head.
Every woman's so jealous. I mean, I was never able to date three guys. Like, that I really liked. I mean, I know you went on a lot of dates at one point, but how you can even find three
it's
that
hard.
You can toggle, that's so time-consuming.
It's hard. I did it, like, on Bumble, because I would I would have five guys I'd swipe right on, and I would work those five. That sounds horrible. I would work those five.
Really, that's like every weeknight.
Yeah, it was really
She came in here tired, man.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of creative planning, but yeah. And then when I met Alan, there was two other guys I was seeing. One was a set up and one was a Bumble. You just kind of keep dating him until one does pull ahead.
Yeah, right.
So you don't, there's no, what's the rush, you know?
Right. You're like the Bachelorette in real life.
It was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. A lot of people think, you know.
Do you have any rules?
No sexy time, right?
Right. Yeah. But everybody has their own set of rules. I can't, there's not like one hard set of rules that works guaranteed for everybody. But as long as you're enjoying the process and you're in the right mindset, why should you exclude two for one if there's not a clear front runner? Just keep doing it.
I'm envious of that. I was never able to do it. I was always too many eggs in one basket because the most I think I ever tried to date at the same time was two. And then I just think about someone else when I'm on that date. And
right.
Yeah.
I was never able to do that. Well, I also just didn't like spending the time. But
it's hard. I mean, you got to remember what
it's a lot of leg shaving.
Each one. Look at the practical aspect.
Too much grooming.
You have to remember, as a guy, I had to remember what lie I told this one to be with the other one. And what I told this one.
You couldn't just be yourself?
I mean, why don't you just tell the girl not a lie and say, I'm busy, and that way you don't, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
I was busy. What'd you do? Oh, I just had some stuff.
That'll be easy. This is old player Al.
This is Al rescuing animals from buildings, that sort of thing.
Don't you only lie when you're cheating?
No, sometimes it's easier to lie.
Yeah, sometimes I think men just don't want to deal with it. Yeah. Just lie to...
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just easier. Sometimes.
Okay.
You don't have to be necessarily cheating. To
you just don't want any problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Honey,
no.
Did you mail the light bill?
Yeah, I mailed it. Yeah, I ain't even seen the light bill. Don't you know what a light bill is? Lights get cut off 2 days later. Thought you mailed a light bill. I did. It must have got lost. You just keep lying. There's no end. Whew, I'm going to sit down now.
How many women are you dating right now, Al?
Huh?
Huh?
How many women are you dating right
Zero.
Now? Zero. There's none on the roster?
Zero. The roster is
I thought just a week ago you had talking to someone.
Talking to somebody and dating somebody are two different things.
Well, that would still be someone on the roster. No, maybe she's on the bench.
No, it was roster. No bench. Mm-mm. Nothing.
Nothing
Zero.
Right now.
I bumbled a girl yesterday that it swiped right on me, and I accidentally swiped left. She was pretty.
Oh, no, you accidentally
And I accidentally,
left it?
I don't like
it. Shake it.
No! I tried. I had already.
Used too many shakes?
Yeah. And
Kyle shakes a lot when he's on bumbling.
Or something. I don't know. I'd mess something up.
I'm like, because you go too fast. You don't give anybody a chance.
No!
Let it settle, man.
You should watch him swipe.
I do. I watch him.
Without any care in the world. Swipe.
I think it's M-I-J-A. Is that her name?
Can we find her somehow?
M-I-J-A. It seemed like it. I'm not sure.
Mika?
I'm not sure. I think.
That's like a nickname a mom gives her daughter.
Little girl, right?
Yeah, Mika.
I don't know. But anyway, she's pretty.
Somebody's putting it out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, man. She'll never pop back up on your rotation?
Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
I swiped left on Alan once, and it's why it came back.
It'll come back.
But Bumble was still new at the time. I don't know if it's changed.
I don't know.
Oh, it'll come back for you, Al.
Why don't I give you one so
you
that
you used to pop up for me all the time.
Yeah, you used to pop up for me, too, John. I guess we swiped left on each other so many times. Finally, okay, we're going
to be so rude. You're so rude. We'll never get over that.
Man, I want Al to find Mika. Dang,
me too.
Sorry, bro. All right.
Come all the phone calls from everybody that wants to date Big Al.
Oh, the text messages are already coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, that's what Al does when he wants a date. He just goes on the radio and says, oh, zero.
Zero.
Oh, I have no one.
So lonely.
I have a batch of listeners to disappoint.
All right, Kid Nation. If you want to write our love expert, go to KidNation.com. We'll get to Love Letters Kelly again next Monday. And coming up next, we're going to talk to our buddy, Todrick Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out there in New York living the life on Broadway. And he was at the VMAs hanging out with Taylor Swift. We'll catch up with him next.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Always good to get a friend on the show, especially when they were front and center at the MTV VMAs, left and right, everywhere I looked. Todrick Hall was right there.
Right
now
there.
Now he's on the phone with us right now. What's up, Toddy?
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Still reeling from last week.
I bet you are. Are you in New York? Back in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York right now. I'm doing Waitress on Broadway and also rehearsing for my new music video. So it's been a crazy, crazy, crazy time, but I'm having so much fun.
Do you have to really rest your voice, I would think, when you have that much going on?
You do. It's so insane that you're just speaking to people. I do the stage door every night, and I probably meet 200 or 300 kids, and I realize how much of an impact just saying, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. It weighs on your voice, so you have to really monitor how much you speak, how much water you drink, and how you're singing in the show. It's really interesting how fragile your voice is.
Oh, yeah, but when you go out, because I've been that kid outside of a Broadway show just hoping and waiting for your favorite to come out, and when you do, it can be life-changing for those fans.
Really? It was life-changing for me. I will never forget. It's one of those things that you will never forget the first time a star, someone you appreciated, came out of the stage door at a theater and signed your playbill. It just makes you have the motivation to chase your dreams and to realize that these people are real. It means so much. And every night before I go out, I remind myself of that, because there are some nights where just as a human, I'm exhausted.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know if I could do it today. But you get messages from the parents that say it really meant so much to my kid. This is their dream, and to meet you was just a dream come true. And it's really awesome, because you sometimes forget how much you just meeting someone could change their life. It's a very crazy thing, especially being from Texas and living my life such a normal life my entire existence until now. It's been very real, very surreal, and I don't know that I'm ever going to get used to it.
Well, it has come full circle for you, Todrick Hall, because you were the kid outside waiting for that star to come out and meeting them. But I don't know if we've ever asked you this. How old were you, and who was the first star you ever met?
The first star I ever met, like big star, was probably, I met Leanne Rimes as a child, but then when I met Beyonce, I just was like, I was maybe 19 or 20 when I met her, and I just couldn't believe that she was real. It was just like not registering me that she was a real human being, and I thought I would be cool, and my body started shaking, and my voice was shaking. It was just, insane. And it was only like 35 seconds or 40 seconds that I met her, but it felt like it. I mean, it lasted a lifetime. I'll never forget.
Of course. And you still talk about it to this day, even though you are best friends with one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
Todrick, is it fair to say that that VMA, that little moon man, is or moon person, they're calling it now, that is that at your house now?
It's not at my house. They have to mail you the one that you actually get. That one on stage. I don't know if there's a spoiler alert, but no one actually takes the moon man home. Huh. They mail them to you with your name on it, and it's customized to you. But obviously, if they take the one with your name on it on stage, then people would know who is the name. So it's kept a secret, and then they mail it to you. But trust and believe, everybody will know when I get mine, because I'll be posting it all over Instagram.
Now, before you guys got the award, did Taylor tell you, hey, Todrick, you're going to be handling the speech for this, since you basically were the creator and for the video? Or was that a surprise when you guys got up there?
No. She told me a little bit before. She said, if we were to win something, would you feel comfortable speaking? And she asked me, and I said, I my heart immediately dropped, and I said, I don't know what I would even say. I wish I could be prepared for this. But, like, I just remember growing up and watching the VMAs and watching TV and realizing that I never saw anybody that looked like me, and I realized how important it would be for a little black child or someone who was a part of the LGBTQ+ community to be watching TV and see someone like them accepting the award. And I knew that I had to say something, but I just didn't know what I was going to say. And it happened so fast that everything I was planning to say, I just immediately forgot and didn't remember what I said until I got backstage and watched it. And but I'm just glad that I wasn't just up there just a blubbering mess, that something came out, because it was an out of body experience to look over to your left and see Cardi B and Lil Nas and Lizzo and Diplo and all of these people that you love and respect and have been listening to for years. Missy Elliott is there. I mean, just, you never in a million years would I dream that, being from Texas, performing at Six Flags all the time, working in Casa Manana, being an usher at the Music Hall at Fair Park, working at Bass Hall, did I ever think, you know, like, this kid from Bowie High School would be at the VMAs at all, even in the pit somewhere watching it, let alone on stage with Taylor Swift. It's just, if you had told me 10 years ago that this would be a reality of mine, I would have never in a million years believed that would be the case.
You earned it, Todrick. You worked hard. I mean, we've seen you since your American Idol days. I mean, you came in here when you were still busting your butt.
Very true.
Using your own money and designing your own clothes and making your own YouTube videos, and it finally paid off.
And I got to know, Todrick, so now that you've kind of showcased your music video directing ability, have any other big artists reached out to you, or is there anyone kind of on your directing bucket list?
There are some people that have reached out to me that I can't say, but I was really surprised to get the phone calls that I got from people that I've been listening to for years and people that are wanting to collaborate with me now, which
awesome.
Has been insane. It doesn't even feel real. So I hope, you know, in this industry, I never count my chickens before they hatch. I hope that they come to fruition, but I've learned now that the pendulum of popularity swings left and right, and sometimes people are feeling themselves and they don't realize that you're also somebody that could be beneficial to them, or that they might really vibe with on a just human level. And so I've learned to just be patient and to just, you know, like, take things as they come, and that hopefully the people who are meant to be in their lives and who are meant to be in mine will come my way. But now I'm kind of learning that I don't really need to work with anybody else, that I can truly be my own star, which before I'd never realized or believed, you know, in me like other people did, like, you know, low-key Kid Craddock did. He believed in me so much, and this was before it was popular to believe in queer artists or people who were different. I mean, he had such a vision, and so I loved the fact that he believed in me and brought me on the radio station when no one really knew who I was at all. And I just think those are the people that, you know, are very rare to find, but they are the true gems when it comes to this industry. And I just am always hopeful that I keep finding people like that, because I don't want to just be successful. I want to have a great time doing what I love to do while also being successful.
And you're paying it forward to other people coming up. And Todrick, I mean, if you do want to come back and finish that song we started here with you, we still have it out here.
We still play War.
Yeah.
Song.
This is War. You remember that song?
Yes, I do remember that. I would love to. I can't wait. I'm going to be there on tour in November, and I really want to come by and see everybody and give everyone a hug and, you know, like, see everyone on the show because I feel like it's my home there. And thank you all so much for always being so ridiculously sweet to me. It really means the world to me.
Oh, Todd, whenever we see you on TV, at least in my house, I scream, I know him. My kids get all annoyed
with him. I still have to make sure, Nick, I know that there's a lot of Taylor Swift fans there, and I have to make sure the next time I come, you guys get to come backstage and meet her at the show because it was insane. But I know that she would love to meet you, and we've talked about it now, and I feel like every year we get closer and closer, and now I feel like it is my duty to make sure, like, my... you meet her.
Yes.
All duty is get up to meet Taylor Swift.
Yay.
We'll
take that all day. Oh, everyone's going to be so excited.
Look, if you're out there in New York and you're going to go hit up Broadway, go check out Todrick. Which ones are you doing right now, Todrick?
I'm doing Waitress the Musical. I'm doing it with Colleen Ballinger from YouTube, and I'm only there for 2 more weeks until September 15th. But I am, I'm going to be at the Bomb Factory in November. I think it's November 21st.
Okay.
It's like a week before Thanksgiving. So hopefully I'll see you guys there or at least come by the radio station in the morning. But I'm so excited to be back in Texas. I love it so much. I can't wait to eat Waffle House and Sonic. It'll be amazing.
Well, we love you, Todrick. We appreciate you taking time out of your day. And also check out his song, Nails, Hair, Hips, Heels. Ciara just did a remix, too, if you want to check that out, which is really cool.
Yes!
Yes, go with your bad self, Todrick. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
I love that guy so much.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Sorry, people.
Wait, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry to tell you the news, but the Pizza Bank Vault is officially closed.
For now. I looked up, my ears went up like a little dog.
But that doesn't mean you can't win some big money on the show. Starting Monday, the Beat the Bank ATM is going to be open, and the ATM's got a bunch of money. You could win $5,000.
Did you say $5,000?
I sure did, Big Al Max. So all you got to do is listen to call in at 7:20 and 8:20 a.m. Central each weekday. We're going to give you the four numbers and the ATM pin code. So we're just going to give you four random numbers. Two callers will each try a code in the ATM. Okay. Your job is to put it in whatever order you think is the actual ATM code. Now, if your code does work, the ATM will spit out $5,000 to you instantly. It's going to just rain all over you.
Wow.
Yeah. The pin code is going to stay the same until someone wins. So we'll give you those four numbers. They stay the same until someone finds the correct pin. So keep track of the wrong guesses because you don't want to waste your turn and make a guess that somebody already made.
Got it.
And then you lost out on $5,000.
Pretty cool.
When somebody does one, we'll reload the ATM and we're going to change up the pin code and we'll play again.
Love it.
Again.
$5,000.
You have to listen to the whole show to make sure that you hear those guesses. All right, people? Monday, Beat the Bank ATM.
ATM.
It's going to hit you. All right, and Big Head Jenna's in the building.
Big Head Jenna?
Big Head Jenna.
Big Hat Jenna.
A Big Hat Jenna.
Well, I do have a big head. It's tight. It leaves marks on my head. My big dream hat.
Yeah. So you write us on the text, Kid Nation. Let us know the dreams that you're having so that Jenna, our psychology minor, can help you out.
I'm not authorized to do this. I just like reading about dream meanings.
We do it for fun.
I don't either.
It hurts my throat.
I love that song.
All right. This one says, read my dream. Caps. So, I listen.
Oh.
Hoping I can get my dream read by Jenna. My sister and I are very close. We live together with our significant others. And I keep having dreams about her telling me to go away, leave her alone, and she doesn't want to hang with me. Aww. Recently has expanded to the rest of our family as well. I've talked to her about this, and she assures me there's nothing going on. I assume the dreams are about abandonment, but our family is very close. Help?
Help? If you dream about fighting with a sibling, they say, you're not going to like to hear this, that it stems from deep-rooted dissatisfaction or jealousy about that sibling. Maybe you're not even aware of it. Maybe you're jealous of her relationship. Maybe you are just dissatisfied with something going on. But I don't know. I would sit on that and think about it. They say that's what it means if you're fighting with a sibling.
Okay.
Fighting. So, in a dream, but you're not fighting in real life. Dissatisfaction or jealousy.
Wow. Okay.
Dig deep into what's going on in your life.
I don't know. I have these
lucid dreams. Equally, as deep right here.
Oh, boy.
I had a dream that I was getting a massage, and I farted. And the guy started breathing heavy and coughing. I assumed the masseuse. I woke in a full-blown state of laughter.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's a nice dream.
I dream. That's different. Get a massage and fart it.
There is meaning behind farting in dreams.
Really?
Yes. And so, I mean, again, I would always analyze and go, did I watch a funny movie with this kind of humor? Did someone pass gas in front of me today? That sort of thing. Because then you'll dream about it if it's in your subconscious. But if not, they say farting in a dream's reflecting some passive aggressiveness that you have. You're holding something in. You're being...
Literally.
You're being passive aggressive. And you should work on showing your emotions more directly. That's my advice.
What does it mean when you fart and you're not dreaming? You're just walking around.
You need to work on your gut health, Al.
Yeah, I was asking for a friend.
Yeah, hard just for me to hold my tongue.
I know. Kelly hates
you
that
just hate
word.
That word?
That word.
That's her F word.
All right. Dear Jen, I have a dream I need your help with. I also sent this via Instagram just to make sure you got it, okay?
Okay.
I dreamt I was on a shore with another woman, someone I do not know in waking life.
Oh.
And we were both standing about mid-thigh deep in the water, looking out to the horizon, when suddenly I noticed some movement in the water near us. It was a big black jaguar that was watching us and slowly moving toward us. I somehow was able to remain calm and just instinctively knew we should move quietly and slowly backwards out of the water. However, my companion freaked out and screamed.
Oh, no.
As I tried to quiet her and quickly but calmly move her back, we heard another jaguar growl from behind us on the shore. Wow. My companion screamed. Wow. The second cat attacked. This allowed me to drag my companion away to a safe area. She was cut up in the abdomen and bleeding heavily, so I found something to help cut off some fabric, and I applied pressure and tried to calm her and to assure her she was going to be okay, but then I woke up. What does this mean? Please help. That is Stephanie.
You need to go car shopping. Buy you a
jet. This dream's full of symbolism, and it's so cool. Yeah. Really.
The woman got stabbed in the stomach.
Scratched.
She got attacked by a jaguar. This is very interesting. So, you know, in mythology, jaguars represent a lot of things. They're very powerful creatures. The ruler of the underworld.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that till I did some jaguar research. But jaguars can indicate physical traits you might possess, like your speed and your quickness and agility, power, grace, beauty. They represent a lot of things. They're a very powerful animal. So, a couple of things. First, I think because you're in water, water is a super symbol. A lot of people write me about dreams in water. Water usually represents your own life as a whole, kind of rebirth. Maybe there's change and growth happening. And then the jaguar attacking you could mean a couple of things. So you have to ask yourself what you're going through. An acquaintance might be worried that an acquaintance is going to betray you in some way. But if you fight off this jaguar attack or kill the jaguar, it means dangerous or risky situations are presenting themselves in your life. And that's why you're dreaming, kind of this embodiment of danger and risk is going on in your life. And if the jaguar is hunting you in your dream, which kind of sounds like what's going on, it can represent an aspect of yourself that you're running from.
Whoa.
I find it interesting the way you say jaguar. You say wire. Jaguar.
Jaguar.
That's
in the
jaguar.
Commercials, the British jaguar. Guy says jaguar.
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 I always just said jaguar.
Jaguar.
Like W-A-R. Even though it's, how do you spell it?
J-A-G-U-A-R.
What do you call them? Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
See, now I'm thinking too much about it.
See, the more you say a word, the weirder it sounds in your head.
Yeah, right.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Or as they call them in the hood, jag.
Yeah, just get a jag.
I'm just going to give me a jag.
A jag. Kill that jag.
Jenna, I just had a dream last night that I was able to remove my nose and then put it back on I'm not sure if it was a prosthetic or what. The weird thing about this is that I didn't seem to worry at all about what I looked like without my nose or what people thought or anything like that. So I just remember being in a conversation with some dude and having to put it back on. What in the world?
You better stop.
Okay, you're not going to like hearing this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Take your ears off.
Your nose falling off like that in a dream represents your guilt over promiscuity.
Oh!
I know what that means you did.
Yeah.
Not just that. They also say if you're dreaming about a fake nose, like on a friend or on yourself, which she is, she's dreaming about a prosthetic nose, mm-hmm. Or having undergone some sort of nose job. A lot of people dream about that sort of plastic surgery, that sometimes it can mean that you've recently become acquainted with a person who can be very, very beneficial to you in terms of your life. Maybe open some doors for you or help you. I know it sounds like a stretch, because what does a prosthetic nose have to do with someone in your waking life helping you out? But I don't know, ask yourself if you've met someone recently through work or on another level that you think might help you, help open some doors for you in your life.
But don't hook up with them, because then you'll feel guilty.
Or you've been a lush, yes.
So that friend knows.
That friend knows.
That's a pun, Al Mack, right there.
Thank you.
If you want to ride our dream expert, Jenna, text us 800-543-3548.
I had to stick it to me one more time.
Any dreams are welcome.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
All right, we got a guest in the studio now. You heard this hit song yesterday on the show.
Hot out here, we stripping. We drinking, salsa dripping. Hot girl, summer sizzle like bacon. Popping up in every mission. So hot out here, we stripping. We drinking, salsa dripping. Hot boy, summer sizzle like bacon. Pop, pop, got booty shaking. Sitting here sipping on Truly. Y'all know I'm so coolie. About to take a dip in the poolie. I think I just saw some boobies.
That voice you hear right there is part-time Justin, in case you missed it yesterday.
I know.
The song is called Seltzer Drippin'. Is that there, right?
Such a good song.
Great song.
Such a good song.
Yeah. And the text blew up, because we have Lardy B in studio, who is the...
Hello.
You're the mother of this song, right? And Justin just happens to be a
step
kind of like the dad.
The stepchild. Yeah, we created a baby together.
We did. High five.
From the text, we got part-time Justin segment today is why we stand, made my mornings. Of course, Lardy B, you're included in here. We're not here yesterday.
Right.
My husband works for White Claw and is going to love this. Shout out. I'm a White Claw.
See, this is the thing I told y'all. You could maybe get in a commercial.
Yeah. That would be great. I would love that.
And it doesn't matter that there's two companies in there, because they really work for Popeyes and Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So they going at each other, and they're both kind of blowing up.
Right.
From the text also, why lie? Most of the crap Justin does is horrible. But
I hate when people have to insult to compliment.
And that's not the comment I wanted.
No. This is a hater that you turned around, Justin, because it says, but... That was a good White Claw song. You know what I mean?
First are sour, then they're sweet, aren't they?
Rest of the stuff you do is still crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Kelly.
Also, this could be the best song I've heard on the radio yet. Just bumped Tank Top Twins out of first.
Oh.
Shots fired at my band.
Do I call you Lardy or Lardy B?
Whatever you want. I mean, a lot of people just call me Lardy.
Lardy, how did you, this is the challenge we've had here, how did you get Justin to stay on the beat?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he did really good. It wasn't that hard. It was funny because whenever he was recording, you never recorded a song before, right?
Nope.
That was your first time, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he would come into the microphone, and he was so loud.
Yes.
He was like screaming into the microphone. Yeah. So
he does that now.
All
the time. You know.
We just had to tell him to like calm down a little bit. But other than that, like he did good. He did great.
And she's so natural at finding the beat. It's like a wave for her. She's riding. She's surfing on all of it.
Thank you.
So what she did is she sang over the song and gave me a few days to practice with her, like a karaoke.
Oh.
And then I was able to go on top.
Then you went in.
And then I went in.
So you got to practice more.
Yeah.
Our thing with Justin is that you feel the beat. All of us in the studio would feel where the beat is.
Yeah.
And then he would just be like, one millisecond.
He's like, nope, I'm not going to do that there.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm going to be off the way.
But that's live, you know, doing it and stuff live is hard.
Right. That's your bit, though.
Yeah.
I think
it
is.
Niche. Well, okay, so Brandon, the guy who helped put the music together and the song, I had a trouble getting that last part where it's like, Truly White Claw, Truly White Claw, because it comes out on the upbeat, and I didn't know how to find her. And so he put on, what's that thing that goes tick, tick, tick?
metronome.
Metronome. Yeah. He put on a metronome and goes, as soon as you find it, just go. And then that's how I was able to stay on beat.
He's a metronome for you to get on beat.
We need to get you a metronome.
I get a metronome, It took a couple of tries, but Brandon, he is a wizard with his computer.
He's great.
And he has like a little apartment and he's like there like with the computer. And
that's so cool. Such a cool skill.
Yeah. If you ever need help getting music put together, as Brandon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brandon Crabtree.
A good producer. Now, Lardy B, are you considered a YouTuber, a musician? What would you consider yourself?
I would like to say I'm a musician, but so most of my clout is on YouTube.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. All right.
Well, what did it feel like when you saw that Cardi B reposted your video on Instagram?
I cried. No, it was on Facebook.
It was on Facebook.
Yeah, so she reposted my video on Facebook and then it got like 100 million views and I just cried for 4 days.
That's so cool.
They like that I'm fat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like that I'm fat. It was crazy. And then Trina shared it, and then I got a Billboard article like that same night.
Wow.
It was so weird.
So did like record labels start hitting you up after that? Because they're like,
Cardi B's looking
at you. What? Because you sound great.
I haven't gotten one yet. Thank you.
Yeah, you do have a great voice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, no. I'm still waiting on that.
You could sing and you can rap. I mean, you could do it and you dance too.
I try.
You
know? And now you got to
collab. This is where we
got to
turn on the PR. We got to capitalize on these things.
Yes.
Because your songs are fire. Even when Justin played it for me a little bit last week, I was like, you want to be a part of the song, which is the point of making a song.
Right.
You want people to be a part of it.
Right, of course.
Now, who gave you the nickname? Is that something you came up with? Because a lot of people want to be rappers, and it's
right. No, I didn't come up with it. It was actually a friend of mine. He came up to me, and he was like, look, I love you, and you're great, and you're beautiful, and this and that, but what do you think about doing this and calling yourself Lardy B? And I was like, that's actually genius. Like, I would love
do
that. Yeah, and promote body positivity.
Yeah.
Loving yourself and confidence and all that. And, we did a Bodak Jello, and it got 7 million views in, like, 2 days. It was nuts.
So good.
It was nuts.
Well, also, what made that music video was just so perfectly put together.
Now that you have the song, we were talking about this yesterday. When can we get that video?
Yeah, next.
Well, okay, so we looked into it. We were like, all right, we got a pool. We got people. Editing and filming takes money.
You could crowdfund.
See, so I think it's going to cost $1,000 to get this done.
Okay.
That's how much?
Yes. Yeah. $1,000. Okay. Yeah, because someone's got to slave over a computer, edit it, film
shoot it.
Filming's
expensive.
And add in all the effects to it. So we're like, we need to do it. So we're going to start a Kickstarter.
A Kickstarter.
We're going to start a Kickstarter, and we're going to try to raise the money.
$1,000 is all you need?
$1,000.
I want to see this video.
We need this done by September 15th. Because that's the day we want to film the music video.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. September 15th. I thought you meant you needed the video done by then. Okay.
Yes, so we got like a week and a half.
Okay,
That's doable.
You think so?
And if you get more than $1,000, the video will just get better because you'll have more money.
Exactly.
Yes, and then we're thinking if you donate $20, you get to be invited to the music video. To be in it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good.
That is good.
We should do that.
Also, Jenna, it'd be so dope to have your finished product featured in there, spraying it ourselves at the pool.
I will sponsor
that.
I will, on behalf of Fittish, give you $200.
Oh! Yes!
That's 20%.
There you go.
Of your video.
There you go. But I want a premium sponsorship opportunity in the video throughout.
Oh, yes.
100%.
Bring your hot box. Let's try to get something
done. You can shoot in the truck.
Perfect.
Yes. Big Al, you got some Big Al balls you want
to...
Yeah, I have
$10. So I'm still holding firm with the $10 and some chicken fried barbecue ribs. How about that?
Sure.
Perfect.
Hey.
Perfect.
Ribs while
you're drinking
the seltzer.
Sure.
Yes.
That works. They go together.
Combination.
Go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we'll put the Kickstarter link on KidNation.com.
All right.
Okay.
I might pull money out of my kid's college fund. You know?
Shoot, yeah. There you go.
Hey.
Kelly. How much are you in for?
I just got to see how much I got in there. Before
Kelly,
I do that.
We could have a sandwich and some seltzer.
Oh.
And then loving.
Well,
and then
how about a seltzer and some loving?
A sandwich and some loving, maybe a little beyond the seltzer dripping video donation.
No.
I thought I was trying to read you.
Um,
What?
I might be busy on the 14th.
Oh, you don't have to be there. 15th.
I'm, 15th. I know. Yeah.
No. No. We want you.
Yeah,
want
you. Kelly says she likes to cut checks.
Yes. We want you in that music video.
Cut it.
Oh, no.
And Alan's nice washboard abs.
No. Yeah. Oh, maybe my husband can go.
Yes, he's very cute. He can definitely be in it.
There's going to be girls in bikinis. Yeah.
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 That's why you got to be. Yes.
Bring a slingshot.
I'll be wearing a thong.
Oh.
Mm. Will you really?
Yeah, I hope so. This music video is going to be so hot, so cool. Seltzer dripping. Lardi B, come on now.
Hello.
And I want Lardi B to stick around like on the show and help us. Maybe one day we'll do like a competition. Could you make us all sound like an artist?
Of course.
Like you made Justin sound?
I can do anything.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's do it.
Kelly already sounds like one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With the help of Lardi B, Jesse Koo, and Brandon Crabtree.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
That is the production team right there.
All right, so Justin's going to put together the Kickstarter. We need $1,000 for the video, just for editing and the video and stuff.
Well, you need $790.
Yeah, because Jenna, well, nice. we'll still take $1,000, you know, just to get over budget.
Sure.
Props, extra white claw.
Extra white claw and all that good stuff.
It's going to be dope. It's going to be lit.
Justin needs to buy his song, apparently.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking white claws.
That's right. Yeah, that's the same, bro.
Lightning laws.
Try boozy, yo.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking White Claws. That's the saying. And also, $20 gets you in the video. So if you donate $20, you'll get to be in the video.
Be in the video. It's going to be fun, I promise.
Start your IMDb page and already put that as a credit down. You know,
we got. Let's get Santa Claus to be in the video. Then you can rhyme. Hey, even Santa Claus drinks White Claws.
Hey,
the song's already done, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed out on the writing process.
We can always make a remix.
Remix?
Yeah. You want to be
remix parody? Yeah.
Billy Ray Cyrus made Lil Nas X.
A ton.
Oh,
yeah.
So look at that.
Yeah.
You
want
to be Santa Claus, Big Al.
I can do that. I have a Santa Claus suit.
What we need today.
I have a
black Santa with a White Claw.
There you go.
September 15th, y'all. Please donate. Kickstarter. Seltzer dripping.
And Lardi, great to meet you.
Yes, thank
you
for nice coming to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Gosh, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I love your candy tats.
Thank you.
Tattoos on point.
Thank you.
How can we follow you and check out your tats?
So I'm on Instagram.
It'll look nice.
At
tats.
The Real Lardi B. Also on Twitter and on YouTube. You can just type in Lardi B. And
awesome.
It's everywhere.
And hopefully we get to hear more from Lardi B. And she doesn't leave us forever when she gets super famous.
Oh, I would never. I love you guys.
All right. Give it up for Lardi B, everybody.
Yay.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.